Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Well, this is a song, a love song, between Solomon and his, it seems, his Egyptian girlfriend, or certainly she's a Gentile, she's not Jewish. And there's a lot of conflict between her and the daughters of Jerusalem, that is, the local girls who I think Solomon should have married. He was king in Jerusalem, and he should have married one of the daughters of Jerusalem. But instead, he gets involved with this romance, with this girl who is not a good spiritual influence on him. You expect a series of love songs to go on and end with the classic end, which is that they get married and live happily ever after. But this doesn't. It ends with the two having an argument and splitting up. And I think the whole thing is here to show us that Solomon did not do the right thing. We're seeing here a description of spiritual failure. Solomon, in my opinion, never really forged a very strong personal relationship with God. All he could think was that I'm the son of David. I'm going to fulfill the promises to David. And he came to overlook the fact that they were all conditional, if you will walk in my ways. And he didn't have the humility which David, his father, had. He had no sense at all of personal sin, personal failure, personally being inadequate. He didn't have that at all. He was just sure of himself. Now, okay, he did the right thing. He asked for wisdom, and so God gave him wisdom. But I don't think he really followed it. If you compare the book of Proverbs with what he says about himself in his biography in Ecclesiastes, it's quite different. One of the things he's on about in Proverbs quite a lot is watch out for women. Watch out for the Gentile woman who will lead you astray. And when you read about his life and you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that that's just what happened. God's comment was that he married all these foreign wives and that in the end his wives turned away his heart from Yahweh unto idols. So Solomon ended his life, so the Bible says, worshipping idols, not Yahweh. He turned away from God. But the seeds of that started when he was quite young, and I think his relationship with this woman happened when he was young. And it just shows that right from the beginning, he was not really heart and soul for the things of God and the Lord Jesus. He didn't know the Lord Jesus then. Jesus didn't then exist. But I mean, for the things of God and the things of the kingdom, I meant to say. So it's split up into three sort of people who speak. There's the girl, and there is Solomon, and there are these daughters of Jerusalem. So the girl says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your lovemaking is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance, your name is oil poured forth, therefore the virgins love you. Take me away with you, let's hurry, the king has brought me into his rooms." Straight away, the whole relationship starts with talking about lovemaking, deep kissing, and the king is bringing me into his room. It's all like that's the first thing the girl says. Come on, come on. She's very forward and wanting Solomon in a very physical sort of way. The daughters of Jerusalem say, "We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will praise your love more than wine." The girl says, "They are right to love you. I am dark but lovely, you daughters of Jerusalem, like Kedar's tents, like Solomon's curtains. Don't stare at me because I'm dark, because the sun has scorched me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but I haven't kept my own vineyard." So she's saying, yeah, sure, my skin is darker than that of you local daughters of Jerusalem. And stop looking at me because I've got black skin or darker skin. She says, well, it's because I had to work in the vineyards when I was a kid. And, well, straight away you get this tension between her and the daughters of Jerusalem. And they obviously don't like her, apart from the fact that they're racist in that sense. Beyond that, I think they think, we should be the ones. One of us should be the ones whom Solomon marries. And now this Gentile girl is here. There was a whole load of reasons they didn't like her, and there was going to be tension. She says, tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you graze your flock, where you rest them at noon, for why should I be as one who is veiled beside the flocks of your companions? So she's saying that I want to be your special one. And I don't just want to be with all these daughters of Jerusalem. He replies, Solomon replies, if you don't know, most beautiful among women, follow the tracks of the sheep, graze your young goats beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared you, my love, to a steed, to a strong horse in Pharaoh's chariots. Well, that's a strange comparison to make for the king of Israel, who was, according to the law of Moses, not supposed to multiply horses and chariots to himself so that the people would never return to Egypt. But he obviously admires the strong horses and the chariots of Pharaoh. And later in his life, he was to do this. He multiplied huge numbers of horses and chariots so that he had to build cities for them to be stored in. This was directly in contradiction with what the law of Moses had said. You get the impression then that right from the start, the heart of Solomon was not in the things of God, but in the things of Egypt. He says, your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold with studs of silver. Both of them praise each other's appearance, and they praise each other's sense of dress. They praise each other's jewelry. It's all very physical, and all that stuff fades. All that fades, all the outward appearance. And if you're really in love with somebody because, for example, your neck looks so beautiful because of the jewels on it, your cheeks look so beautiful because of earrings that are dangling on them, and that's why you think someone's pretty? That's why you're attracted to somebody, because of their earrings and their jewels? It seems to me that it's all very external. It's all very human. And, of course, falling in love is one of those things that happens. And I think it's designed that you sort of lose your sense of balance to some degree. You cannot make a rational decision about things when you're in love. And I think that's intended to be like that by God, because you go through this thing and then you get married. And that's it. And according to God, and God's word, it's one man, one woman for life. That's the standard. And, well, that is what we've got to live with. And then you sort of wake up and find who you really married, as it were, after a period of being married. And hopefully you still love each other. But God made it like that, I think, to just test us. To test us. But, of course, people think they can buck that and just move on from marriage to marriage, relationship to relationship, and just all the time it's a surface level falling in love. And then once that in love period is over, in the sense of the irrational part of it, then they are back to reality. They don't like it, it's off with somebody else. That's not how we should live at all. And I think you see in this ultimately not successful relationship and very, very unhappy relationship between Solomon and this woman, I think you see where things go wrong. And I think it's sort of a dissection, an opening up of a relationship that went wrong, so that we should learn from it. So now the girl says, while the king sat at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. Again, she's relying on things like perfume and jewellery to be attractive. Peter says in the New Testament that a woman's adorning should not be of all that sort of stuff, but in the hidden man of the heart. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lies between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi. Solomon says, behold, you're beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. Well, he warns the young man in his book of Proverbs, don't be captivated by the eyes of a Gentile woman. That's just what's happening to him. Then she says, "Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Yes, pleasant, and our bed is green." Solomon says, "The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs." Well, they are going too fast, too quickly. That's clear. All on the basis of external attraction. So, we'll see how this pans out. But from a spiritual point of view, you already get the impression this is not going to be a great story.